Hi, my name's Tyler Lucchetta. I play Cullen Rowe on Gotham Knights, and this is Young Entertainment Mag.
Well, I'm Daniela with Young Entertainment Mag. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited to chat with you, and we know our fans are like even more excited. So thanks again for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Daniela, for having me. I'm excited to talk.
Totally. So, what was your first introduction to the DC Universe?
Oh, my first introduction to the DC Universe actually was Batman, The Dark Knight, with Heath Ledger's Joker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that when I was growing up, that was my all-time favorite Batman movie. It's kind of ironic that Batman was my introduction into the DC Universe. But I didn't know much of the comic book world. So Batman Eternals, which is the comic book that Gotham Knights is surrounded by, is very new to me. So
cool. That was such a good movie with Heath Ledger. That was like a, I don't want to say a childhood staple because I wasn't like, you know, five watching it, but I remember being younger and being like, oh my gosh, like it's just one of those films that sticks with you.
It scared you. Epic. Like his performance genuinely scared me. And Christian Bale as Batman is amazing, you know, as it is. But that Heath Ledger, man, he really like just stuck out like a sore thumb. He was so, so good.
Totally, right? Okay, so what was the audition process like for you? And who did you have a chemistry read with?
I actually had no chemistry reads with anybody. It went really, really quickly. I got the audition. Then a week later, I got a call back. Then the next week, like they got back to me with the director and writer call back. And then I got it. It was very, very like fast paced, which I was very grateful for because usually actors, we don't have it easy. So you can either hear things back or you never hear things back. And luckily, you know, I'm just so grateful to have gotten the part, you know.
But totally.
The audition process was actually really, really fun. I enjoyed meeting the director, Danny Cannon, and the writers for the first time. Even though the first time, the final audition that I had, there was construction going on in my building, like right outside my door. And every single time I tried doing it, I would have to do this audition whilst there was a huge drill going off. But I did it. And that was actually one of the things they said that they're like, listen, Gotham's loud. So you kind of was like, listen, if he can act through a drill, he can act in Gotham. I'm like, you know what? Yes, I will use that to my advantage. Sure. Yes, it was all a sham. I had it planted out there.
That's awesome. You know, it's so funny. I feel like me, I'm such an overthinker. So I would have been like so mad the next like 24 hours. Like, oh my gosh, of course there was a drill in the background. Like it ruined my audition. And that's so cool that they were not like annoyed by it or like, oh, what the heck is this? They're like, no, look how amazing this audition was.
Yeah, I was very grateful because I went outside and asked them if they could just pause for 5 minutes. Because like it was one of the biggest callbacks I've had. And I just was like, listen, for 5 minutes, if you could just stop drilling, I'll be so quick. And luckily I did it. And then as soon as I was done, they started drilling again. And I was like,
no way.
No, it was perfect timing. And they were really sweet about it too. Like they understood that it was really loud. And it was just like kind of like a meeting, if you will. If it was a meeting, I feel like they would do the same thing. But this was... I needed them to just shush for 2 seconds.
Totally. Okay, that's freaking awesome. And I can almost just like imagine the construction team just like rolling their eyes like an actor, you know?
This actor wants me to freaking stop working.
Totally. That's so cool that they paused for you. I would have guessed that they would have not done that. So that's really nice.
Especially when I was living in LA, I was very shocked that they were very nice about it. So
that's wild. Oh my gosh. Okay, amazing. So how would you describe Cullen's style?
Well, it's kind of anything he can get his hands on at this point. Being a homeless teenager in Gotham, it's also like him and Harper have a little bit of a kleptomaniac thing going on because being on the streets, they had to steal what they could just to get by. So, you know, I think his style is just, you know, what he can get his hands on, but also he tries to make it his own. He tries to stay as clean as he possibly can, make it look like he actually tried. But if he did have means to his own wardrobe, I think it's very, very actually Heath Ledger's ruggedness, very sweaters, very over bagginess, jeans, ripped boots, you know, very, very Heath Ledger. That's not the Joker's Heath Ledger, just Heath Ledger.
I love it. So who are the Gotham Knights and how are they connected to the Batman universe?
So the Gotham Knights is a part of the Batman Eternal comics. So you're going to see a lot of characters pop up like Cullen Rowe, Harper Rowe, Stephanie Brown. We got the March family. We have a lot of people popping up in this comic book, in this series that you've probably never even heard of before, because when I did my research, I didn't even never even heard of this multiverse before. So there's a lot of new characters that you're very much bound to see. And they're very much connected to the Bat family, because now Turner Hayes, being Bruce Wayne's adoptive son, he in it of itself is part of his family indefinitely. Yeah. But for us, you know, Stephanie Brown was closer to Bruce Wayne than any of us. So I think we become more of a family dynamic as the show progresses, because we have this same goal. We want to get our names cleared, but as time goes on, we realize that we also want to protect Gotham. We all have this knack for doing it. It's pretty cool what we can do as five teenagers on the run, but it's, you know, being Turner Hayes, being his adoptive son, Batman has taught him things without even really teaching him, like situational awareness, martial arts, fencing. Like, he prepared him for his possible death in the future, because, you know, Batman isn't Superman. He is a man who could die, and, you know, so can Superman, but it's just more inevitable that Batman could potentially get way more hurt than any of these superheroes that you see, because he is just brains and brawn mixed together.
Yeah.
So, you know, our connection to the Bat family for us in this show, we connect more with Turner, thus making a family of our own after his dad passes, after, you know, loads of things happen to this man. You know, we become his family to lean on. And, you know, in the Batman Eternal comics, though, I'm pretty sure you have Jason Todd as Red Wing in that comic book. You have, you know, more Bat family dynamics in the comic, but as we progress in our show, you'll see that maybe things unravel, people can connect, and you know there's a lot of things to discover about all of our characters. These are all of our origin stories, if you will.
That's amazing. Okay, so speaking of this, like, very family feeling kind of tight-knit unit, what was that like on set? I'm sure that really played into, like, your cast members. And it's like, on set, you're already kind of close to your castmates. But it sounds like the way this kind of script unravels, if you will, you guys are all really a family unit. So how does that play off in real life with your castmates?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely plays off in real life, too, the family dynamic. I mean, me and Fallon were the first ones to be announced that we were cast in the show. So as soon as I figured out that she was playing my sister, I hit her up on Instagram. I was like, hey, congratulations. I'd really love to grab lunch so we can just, you know, discuss on how we want our characters to go down and, like, just discuss on this awesome opportunity. So as soon as we started realizing who's going to be a part of this cast, I kind of forcefully made everyone go to dinner with me, and we all kind of, you know, just got that awkward first meeting out of the way. It wasn't even awkward. We met, and it was like we were like high school friends meeting for after years of not seeing each other. You know, we just instantly all clicked. And after the pilot, you know, that bond got stronger, because we're in this new place with all these new people. They're the only ones you can really lean on in times of just, like, having a bad day or just not feeling yourself. Like, they're your family at the end of it. And then after we figured out that we got picked up, you know, the bond just got stronger and stronger. And actually, we all got the same apartment building out here in Atlanta together, and I'm actually the last one here because everyone left.
Oh, wow.
Because we recently just wrapped, like 2 weeks ago, we season wrapped. And, you know, we just all wanted to stay close by each other, just didn't want anyone to feel like they were alone. And you can tell that we all really care about what we're doing, and it shows on screen, especially because we just love being around each other. It, like, the cast and the crew just worked so smoothly together, and it definitely shows on camera.
That is so cool. Okay, you know what that just reminded me of? Although I feel like I'm butchering the name. You know, like, is it Oakwood Apartments in LA? You know what I'm talking about? What's the one apartment complex that all the actors live at? And it's like, it's close to Universal Studios. I used to live there myself, and it was like,
I know what you're talking about.
Why is Oakwood what's in my head? No, it is. It's called Oakwood. I just Googled it.
I don't know if it's is it Oakwood?
Yeah, I'm looking at, I just Googled. I'm like, wait, is that it? Yeah,
Oakwood. There's two apartment buildings that just, every time I hear them, I'm like, okay, that you're in LA.
This is Oakwood. It's called like Oakwood at Toluca Hills. And it's like, but it's really, maybe that's a different location. Anyway, it's by Universal Studios. But I just remember like walking around, and literally it was so many different casts from so many different shows, but it was so fun to all like be there together. So that's awesome. Did you enjoy Atlanta? Or I guess you're still there. Are you enjoying it?
I'm very much enjoying Atlanta. It's so different from living in LA. Like, I loved LA, don't get me wrong, but being from New York, I miss the seasons. I miss feeling cold. I miss getting like feeling the warm weather coming on. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met a lot of great people out here, and I'm all about traveling. So I love staying for a little bit and just going where the wind takes me. So, you know, and you know, if we go for season two, hopefully then I'm already out here. It's like, I want to stay put until I know what's going to happen. Cause I wasn't really, nothing in LA was keeping me there. I didn't really need to live there, especially with acting being so universal now and just so remote. So yeah, I'm just going to chill in Atlanta until we figure out about season two.
That's amazing. I love that. It's so fun to try new places. I went from, Southern California to Tennessee. I tried out Nashville for a bit.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of like, I would drive to Atlanta. Atlanta's really fun. But yeah, it's fun to like try out different areas and just kind of see how you vibe, and the people are so different. And whenever I talk to actors, just because so many things film in Atlanta, everybody tells me like that they feel like it's so much harder to drive in Atlanta because the way that the streets are and like the traffic lights are like hanging on the wires or whatever, and they said that always throws them off. I thought, oh, that's funny.
I kind of like it. I mean, it gives it character. Yeah. I mean, I don't drive out here because it's just, I don't want to drive. I'm a little lazy. Coming from New York, listen, I don't like driving. It's annoying to me. If I don't need to, I'm not gonna. So I live near a bunch of stuff that I'm just walking distance to because I'm perfect. A walker. If I don't need a car yet, I'm not going to own one.
Yeah.
I'm saving as much money as I possibly can because we don't know where season two's going. So I need to save my money.
I feel that. That's it. What's the term? There's a term now. It's passenger princess. Have you heard that?
Oh, my boyfriend knows I'm his passenger princess. Like, there is not going to be a day where he is mine. I'm sorry, but it's like, I'm gonna ride that train until I have to no more.
That's how I am. My husband drives me everywhere, and I'm like, this is it. This is my identity. I will never drive again. So I totally
get it. This is my identity. I have to take another class because I forgot how to drive.
It's so true. Oh my God. That's so funny. Okay. So how do you get into character to play Colin? We have a lot of actors that share, they'll like create Spotify playlists that like match the mood of their characters. Like, what is your kind of go-to routine for getting into character?
Yeah, I'll definitely make some playlists and things of that nature. But, you know, for me, it's definitely figuring out my character's backstory, figuring out what happened before we met all these guys. And even going into the other episodes, like I have to remember what I was just going through in the last episode to get me to this point. And, you know, I'm not going to say I'm method, but after they say first team's on set, like once they say first team, I'm instantly coming. Like, I'm putting myself in that position of life and death situation. I have to get in and get out without being seen, you know, these types of mindsets that need to be portrayed in it. And what I like about our portrayal of the Gotham Knights is that, you know, we have a lot of high stakes moments all the time, but we are brought back to realize that these are just kids also figuring out themselves at the same time. So, you know, it's a mixture of balancing, holy crap, I'm on the run for murder, but I know I'm innocent. But at the same time, I'm also a teenager, and like, I'm also going through normal teenage, but at the same time in Gotham City, which is just, no one should be living in Gotham. So, you know, getting in those mindsets could be sometimes detrimental to your emotional state and just your health, period, because it's a constant, oh my God, everything's just on the move. And, you know, for instance, I'd be crying over my friend because he's in pain because something happened. And it's like, I have to do that over and over and over again for multiple takes. So, you know, it's just all about preserving your energy and putting it in the right places at the right moment.
Yeah.
You know, when I go on my cast chair, I'll, you know, get my lines prepared. But when I'm in the chair, I kind of like to just relax, because when I'm on set, that's when I'm no longer Tyler. That's not me anymore. But when I'm in my chair, that's my moment where I can finally breathe, because I've been doing this scene for so many takes. Sometimes it can get emotionally taxing, but I want the audience to feel what Cullen's feeling. I don't want it to just be, oh, that's Tyler just saying a line. Like, no, that's Cullen saying what's going on right now. And I believe him. It's like, I want people to believe me. So I have to get to that emotional state that Cullen's in. So
yeah,
definitely. Sometimes I got to go method and put myself in his shoes a little bit more than most.
Yeah. That's incredible. That's really cool. It makes me think of, okay, so hear me out. So I do a lot of TikTok stuff, and I posted a TikTok about that specifically, and getting into character and really matching your emotion, high stakes emotional state of your character. And I had a lot of actors, you know, comment and engage with it. And I had a large chunk of them say, like, okay, wait, but you have to be so careful. And I think this is why the post went so viral, was because it was so, people were arguing in the comments, but they were saying, you've got to be careful, because you have to have a go-to way to snap yourself out of it, or gently bring yourself out of that emotional state. Because like you're saying, it becomes so real. And that's why you're such an incredible actor, because you make it real, which is like phenomenal. And it's something that people aspire to do their whole life, is to be able to get to that, you know, state in their career. So like, how do you snap out of it? How do you take care of yourself emotionally when you're in those moments or coming out of those moments?
A lot of the times it does take me a little bit. I remember doing a scene. It was the last scene in the Belfry. And just thinking about it now, I'm getting all emotional. I put my real emotions, just having it be the last day in the Belfry. I'm like, this is real. Like, this is really happening for even just Tyler. Like, you can even put Tyler's emotions into what Cullen's feeling, because this is a real thing. And not only just like what will happen alongside of it being the last time I'm in the Belfry, but it just, you know, I had to like kind of just take a walk around the stages a little bit, just kind of take a breath, you know, go to the castmates and be like, hey guys, like this scene's really rough. Like it's tough one. I gotta cry it out. I gotta talk about it. And they will. And like, if I didn't have them to cry on, to just talk about how else this is making me feel as Tyler, it would have been bad. And also, you know, going to therapy helps greatly too, because it's like, you need to be able to discuss like, why was it so easy for me to get to this point? You know, there's deeper rooted feelings around getting to these points so easily. So, you know, the pulling yourself out of it is just, as long as you know that this is a character, this is someone totally different portraying an emotion that you, Tyler, are not feeling, then you're good. It's like, I know I'm okay. I know that I will hopefully be here one day again, but my character in his moment right now, he thinks he's never going to be here again, that this is it, it's over. But, you know, it's a roller coaster, but
yeah,
you find ways to just know and how to, you find ways to separate them too. It's kind of just like, you can't teach that in acting class sometimes. It's gotta be a learn on the job kind of thing, because you really don't understand the fast pace of TV work or film work until you're actually in it. So the time where you are in your cast chairs or in your trailer, where you're waiting for the next scene to come up, take that time to just be like, okay, I'm fine. That was a rough one. Just acknowledge that it's rough and just move on. Do something that helps you move on. Like I'm a little gym rat. I love working out. So if it was a rough scene, I'd go to my room. I'll put some really nice music on that makes me happy, and I'll just do a little workout just to release the emotions, you know, shake it off, if you will. I remember the writer Natalie came up to me after I was just having a little bit of a moment, because when you get emotional too, you can kind of just stutter your lines. Lines just kind of go everywhere. She just looks at me and goes, "Hey, you got it. Just shake it off. Shake it off." I shook it off, and then the next take, boom, got it done. So sometimes you can get too much into your head thinking about the scene too. It's really a learn on the job kind of thing. Just don't get too caught up in what your character's feeling, because that's what your character's feeling. You're not feeling that.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. That is so powerful. Thank you for sharing all that. That's pretty cool. You know what this just made me think of too? Have you had a chance to watch Outer Banks on Netflix?
Not yet, but everybody's been talking about it.
Yeah, I just had this kind of like little vision/thought of like your posse on your show. I feel like they would run with the Outer Banks kids, because it's the same thing. It's like this high stakes, you know, there's murder and there's all this stuff going on. But at the same time, like they're kids and they like, you know, have classes that they're taking. And it's kind of like this, the two worlds colliding. And that's what makes it so fun. So anyway, yeah. I just thought of like, you know, you guys in another world, your guys' posses might collide.
The multiverse. But, you know, it's what's cool is, like, you know, you really don't see Cullen, Harper, Duella be normal kids. They've always been either on the run, homeless. They've never been normal kids. The only normal kids that you'll really see is Turner, Stephanie, Kerry, and Brody. You know, these three that are coming along just are looking through this mirror, if you will, through these kids that they want to be. They want to be normal, but now they can't. Like, they have a whole more mess of shit to deal with. So it's like some of these kids aren't normal and don't have that luxury to go to class now to be a normal child, because they're pinned for murder. And they had to do, but they had to, like, you know, fend for themselves their whole lives. It's like been 2 years for Harper and Cullen. So,
oh my gosh.
And for Duella, you know, being the Joker's daughter, living in Arkham for a majority of her life, she's never like that. No child should be raised in Arkham. That is a place. And you'll definitely see that vibe to her throughout the season. Like, I personally love Duella. She is my fan favorite, especially in the comic book. She's nuts. Like, and I love a little crazy.
It's so fun. I love it. Okay. So do you have any fun, like something that sticks out in your mind as like a really fun behind the scenes moment that happened with the cast, something that like made you laugh or just a really fun moment?
There's so many. Oh my gosh. I mean, if you're going to talk to my sister, Fallon Smythe, eventually she'll probably tell you the same story. So it's the pilot, and this is the first day that Fallon's actually filming with us, because sadly she had COVID like the beginning of filming, but like it like timed out perfectly, if you will, because nothing got changed, nothing got messed up. So it's this poor girl's first day of filming, and we have a little bit of a fight scene going on, and somehow she falls, which makes me fall into her. But no, I didn't just fall into her. My ass fell right into her face. And I felt so bad. Because like people just kept falling. It was like a domino effect. So, like, I couldn't move. So, you know, Fallon's first day of filming in the pilot could have been better. She never stops talking about it. I'm like, listen, we can both just forget it ever happened. We can just move on, forget it. But I know you're never going to let me live this down. So I'm going to have to beat you to the punch of talking about it. This is me beating her to the punch. I accidentally crushed her with my butt.
That is so awesome. I love that. Oh my God, so fun. Everybody's going to love this. Rapid fire, but no stress. If it takes you okay. You think it's all good. We're not timing it or anything. Okay, so rapid fire, what three emojis would best describe Colin?
Any food emoji. A bat emoji. And a paintbrush.
Ooh, I love that. That's so fun. Okay, what fictional character, so it could be film, TV, book, whatever, would you ship with Colin?
Oh. Oh, I can choose any? Okay. I'd have to do Dick Grayson's Nightwing. That man.
I love it. If you had to change your hair color for a role and you got to pick what color that would be, what would it be?
Silver.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I've always wanted to be Danny Phantom.
Oh my gosh, I could see it. Okay, amazing. If Colin had a Starbucks order, what would it be?
Oh, double shot espresso mocha.
This is so fast. I love it. You're like, yeah, you said rapid fire. Okay, so what's your go-to Starbucks order as Tyler?
I kind of like the Starbucks white mochas with a triple espresso. I go hard. I love espresso shots.
Have you tried their flat white?
No.
It is, what is that? So good. I couldn't even really tell you what it is. I got it for the first time like a month ago and I was like, okay, where has this been my whole life? But it's some form of a latte. There's definitely espresso in it. It's hot. It's not an iced thing. It is so good. And I get the flat white with white mocha. You got to try it. It's amazing.
Write it down.
Seriously. It's my new go-to. It just makes you feel like you're in Italy or I don't know, just some fancy place getting like a great espresso drink.
You had me. You said white chocolate. Yes, I'm good. I'm going.
I love it. Okay. Favorite onset snack from Crafty.
Oh God. I had so many. A cup of noodles. Those things kept me alive. I know it's not really a snack, but like, let me tell you that those saved my ass.
So good. That's like a staple. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So have you heard of like what an ick is? Like,
oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I figured, just thought I would ask. Okay, so what is your biggest ick in like a relationship or dating as Tyler versus like what you think Colin's biggest ick would be in a relationship?
I think we go hand in hand with just basic human decency and bare minimum. Cleaning up after yourself. Listen, I'm all about cooking. I'm an Italian man, do your thing. But if you don't clean up after your damn self when I clean the kitchen, ick, ick.
That's awesome, I love it. Okay, nailed it. It's so funny, because my poor husband, he cooks, he's amazing. And he's always like, can you just clean up after yourself? And I'm just like a space cadet. And I just like, I have to make myself notes, like clean up after yourself. Like something's wrong with me.
It took me a while to clean as I go. Like, I'm not judging you. I'm judging others.
No, I need to get my act together. No, seriously. So like, what's going to be in your celebrity rider?
Let me tell you something. I am one cheap date. I'm a humble bastard. When I walked onto that set, I got my own stuff because I didn't want other people to get it for me. So, oh God, I can speak for the whole cast. Like we all did not want anyone to lift a finger for us in that aspect because we're all so new. And even if we were Leonardo DiCaprio status, my mama never taught me to do that. If I broke my foot and I couldn't get down my steps and I needed someone to bring me something, it would have been a can of Coke. Those things, in between takes, like when I couldn't do anything and like I would have someone, like, because I was thirsty or something, I would be like, can you please get me a can of Coke? And I'm so sorry to ask you this. Like, it would hurt me to ask them to do this stuff, even though, like, it's their job. But, like, I feel bad. I feel bad. Totally. But a can of Coke, that's my go-to.
I feel it. A simple man. Or maybe, like, since you love to travel and you love experiencing everywhere you go, maybe, like, a full-on, not just a trailer, but, like, a built-out RV with all the things in it, custom made, tailored to Tyler, where you can drive it or have a driver, because you don't drive, take it from set to set to set wherever you film so that you always have a home. I feel like
that's a good one. Tiny home living is one of my dreams. So you kind of just describe my dream living. Oh my God, if I can tiny home RV life it, that is my goal. So you know what? If they wanna gift me an RV now, baby, I'll take it. Give me a home.
So, I have to tell you, I did tiny home living in an RV for 4 years. It was wild. It was so different than I like you have it in your head is what it's going to be. And it's so different, but it's really cool.
Yeah. Is it like, is the traveling what it's up, like what it's set out to be? Because like my thing is just, I want to visit every state. Yeah. I don't want to stop going, you know.
Totally. No, I think so. There's like an element of freedom where you're like, I have nowhere I have to be. I can just like, literally, it's like that you're looking, where am I going to go the next day? And you're finding like on the map and then you're calling RV parks. It's really cool. It's insane because it's like, when stuff happens to the vehicle or like, you know, every vehicle needs like maintenance check, or, like things happen and stuff. It's your home. So like there's higher stakes where you're like, oh wow, like I'm living in this. But like, no, it's really cool, but it's definitely an adventure. So you should try it sometime.
Oh, I'm gonna. I'm gonna show up to season 2 with an RV. Like, hey guys, you should have seen the year I had. I've awoken.
Yes, I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for this fantastic interview. You're the best. We appreciate
you. Oh, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you again after the season is over and everyone's seen the episodes.
Yes, season 2. Can't wait.
Awesome. Cross my fingers. Well, thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Tyler. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, and don't forget to subscribe to Young Entertainment Mag.